afternoon, good evening, and good night. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Life Podcast of Discovery Fellowship Church. I'm your host, as always, Pastor Nathan here. Now, we have a very special episode this week. I talked about it last week, but this week, most of the staff and most of the elder board of Discovery Fellowship Church are actually in Indianapolis attending a conference on discipleship. So instead of our normal kind of podcast episode, this week, we're going to be giving you some highlights from all of us here attending. They're actually all downstairs having some pizza. We just finished up day one of this conference. We're trying some Chicago-style pizza while we're out here. But we're going to just do little segments, maybe 5 minutes, with different people on staff and from the elder board, just giving you what has stuck out to them at this conference. So we're not going to have our normal news segment. We're not going to have our normal AI segment. We're going to just have this special edition episode. So without any further ado, let's go to hear what some of these people have to say.
Wonderful. Thanks. So we got Jeremiah Way here. He's one of our elders that was able to participate. He and his wife came here with us on this conference. So Jeremiah, would you just share with our listeners and viewers just a little bit about what God is teaching you as it relates to discipleship?
Sure. So yeah, chemical engineer, love the math that we've been learning. Some of it is the multiplication effect of one teaches two, those three then teach nine, those nine then do 27.
Okay.
And how it is not just linear growth, but is that exponential growth, and how this can transform a relationship, a church, a community, and a nation. We heard from Sierra Leone, which was just amazing, of 300,000. I want to go. I want to see. That's really cool. The other side that I've been hearing or learning is the equation of discipleship.
Okay.
And this may or may not be all there is, but hearing that discipleship comes from Bible plus time plus life.
Yeah.
And we as the church often lean into, hey, I will disciple you in the Bible, and let's read the Bible, and let's do a Bible study. Cool. That's awesome. But are we getting the life? Are we getting the time of just hanging out and watching a ball game together, or life of going to a kid's birthday party or a kid's recital or a kid's ball game and spending that time together?
Yeah, we are really good in the American church, and we've heard this from several different speakers, of that, like, just that knowledge side of it, but not the heart, the feel side of it. One of the things in one of the sessions I was at, they kind of talked about that similar idea, where the American church, we have a problem where we're so focused on the Bible study, the knowledge side of that being kind of our cultural paradigm, that we then miss out on what care looks like, what accountability looks like, yeah, what actually holding each other to a higher vision looks like. And we've kind of just brought discipleship and whittled it down to, let's open up our Bible, let's read a chapter together and move on, and we're good. But we're not modeling what a life following Christ looks like. And yeah, we're filled with being the knowers of Jesus, not the doers, yes, of Jesus. So, yeah, thanks. Any other things you wanted to share?
The other thing that they've talked about is, as we're all here, the staff, the elders, they said, don't announce the revolution.
Hmm.
Live it.
Oh, wow.
Which is going to be really interesting to see, all right, how do I change my interactions with you, with Nathan, with Lex, with everybody back at church, back at home, and not just the staff or the elders together, but how am I engaging the Justins, yeah, the others at church that I've got relationship with? And it's not like, hey, I'm now going to disciple you. Aren't you lucky? Or you're going to disciple me. Aren't I lucky? No, it's like, how do we revolutionize what we're doing without making it this new program? It's not a program. It's that relationship side.
That's funny. I think of Jesus and his disciples, right? Jesus would call his disciples and they would then go. And it's not like the disciples walked ahead of Jesus saying, hey, Jesus is coming. Everyone get ready. Come gather here. Jesus will be here at 2 p.m. ready to teach you guys. Jesus just went. He modeled what discipling looks like. And everywhere he went, people would follow him,
right,
as opposed to just come to hear from him. And I think that's an interesting thing, kind of that non-programmed, organic, if we want to use buzzwords, type of relationship with Jesus and then with others as a result of that. So cool. Thanks, Jeremiah.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Awesome. So we're here with our children's director, actually our next gen director now. That's right. You had a title change, Mickey. Mickey Lang, what have you learned so far at this conference? We're almost done. We only have two things left. What do you got for us?
We've learned a lot these past couple days. I went to a couple of sessions where we talked about the next generation and the generation raising them, their stereotypes, their accomplishments, the challenges ahead of them, and the challenges that their parents have. It's just a fire hose of information that we're going to have to distill, but it's so helpful knowing who we're trying to teach, who we're trying to disciple, who we're trying to reach, and how to do it. We'll be synthesizing a lot of information over the next couple weeks, just trying to figure out how this all fits into our discipleship, how this fits into our discipleship strategy at Discovery.
Has there been anything that jumped out as like maybe surprising or that you didn't expect to hear or that caught you off guard? Like, oh, I never thought about it that way.
I don't think there's been anything that's been surprising. Just the scope of discipleship as a whole. It's more than just getting people through that door of salvation. It's walking with someone for a lifetime, trying to get them to a point where they can do the same thing for other people.
So one of the big things they've talked about is that, like, culture will defeat behavior every time, right? Like, the culture has to come first before we can expect behavior. And when it comes to changing culture, you can either kind of, you know, slowly start to shift it, or you can throw a stick of dynamite at it. When it comes to next-gen ministry, culture at Discovery, which way do you lean? Dynamite or slow, gradual adjustments?
It depends on the case. I don't think we're at a point where we need to throw a stick of dynamite at our youth, but there may be some habits that we have that we just need to cut out entirely.
Awesome. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up your little segment here?
The turkey sandwiches were fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, the box lunches are pretty good this time. You know, sometimes these conferences, they have not great lunch, but this time it was awesome. Anyway. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay, so we have Jim Wickelman here with us. He's our executive director at Discovery Fellowship Church. He and his wife also joined us here at the conference. So, Jim, tell us a little bit about discipleship, things that God is teaching you and stirring in your heart that you think is important for others to know.
Well, I'm on a track that's from a group called Legacy Coalition. I think that's their name. And they're focusing on grandparenting and what does scripture and what role do grandparents have in the whole realm of discipleship. And there's a verse I wanted to share that's kind of one of the key verses that the whole idea is built around. It's from Deuteronomy 4:9. And the guy who's teaching this says that's really easy to remember whether you're a fan or not. It's the 49ers.
Let's go.
Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently. This is Moses talking to the people about what God wants. Lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart in all the days of your life. Make them known to your children. And if you forgot the next three words, and to your grandchildren. So there's a mandate in Scripture for grandparents to pass on the things of God to their grandkids. And so I've been going through a series of teaching and instruction, just practical advice on how to do that. So I'm really excited to come back to church. We asked the question, well, who am I going to disciple? Well, if you have grandkids, you have, you know, 2, 3, 4, 10, whatever they are, just sitting right there. And there's challenges, too, regarding what if the family, the kids, if the relationship isn't good. And so the seminar goes into how to break down some of those barriers and deal with that. So it's a really cool, exciting opportunity to be disciples of your grandkids. And what does that look like? So we'll be sharing more when we get back.
That's great. Is there anything with that that would encourage those who maybe don't have kids or grandkids for one reason or another? Like, what do I do with Deuteronomy 4:9 if I never had kids? What would you say to them?
Yeah, so they really don't address. They kind of assume that you're talking to an audience that has you're talking with kids and grandkids involved.
Okay, so specifically that one is then going to be geared towards if you are a grandparent, here's your charge. Not that there's not a charge for other people who aren't grandparents, right?
It's the other 30 or 40 seminars here or tracks that address like the other large chunk of the population that aren't just grandkids.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, we've got the man, the myth, the legend, Pastor Rick Fenoy right here to give us the best overview highlights of this conference so far. With that, Pastor Rick, take it away.
All right. It is actually a joy to be here in Indianapolis, Indiana, with about 2,000 other people just kind of soaking it in. This has been just like drinking from a fire hose. We're trying to take in all the information we can. And basically, the core question that we're trying to answer is, how do we do what Jesus did? How do we make disciples? How do we win them? How do we grow them? And then how do we translate that into our church culture so that that becomes something that's systemic, that's something that's, that is a value that everybody needs to own? And that's kind of been the focus of the tracks that I've been on. How do you change the culture of the church? Not necessarily how to blow the church up, but how do you change the culture of the church so that we as a church body can exponentially be about the business of winning people to Jesus, growing them in Him, and then reproducing disciples as a result of mentoring and investing ourselves in people. And the amount of resources that are here are just, it's just staggering. It's not about programs. It's not about, you know, changing our structures and all of that. It's about learning how to love people. And then how can we best facilitate communicating the values of Jesus and what He wants to see happening in our lives and in the lives of other people, and not just in our church, but in our community as well. So it's exciting. It's just been, as I said, it's just been a real opportunity to just to take in a flood of information. It's going to be a lot to process, but we know that the Lord is in this because this is exactly what we need to be doing.
Yeah. So one of the interesting points of data, I think, that they brought up was it was something like only 5% of churches are actually like disciple-making churches. And we've gotten a lot of things about, like you said, not programs, but more of, you know, mindsets, cultural expectations, ways of shifting, overall just ways of thinking as opposed to follow X, Y, Z. It's think about this, this, and this. But with such a small percentage of churches actually being disciple-making churches, why do you think that is, like, as an American problem? What do you think has contributed to that? And what do you think is the best solution?
Well, the best solution is, again, to change the culture.
Yeah.
The problem is we've fallen into, I think, a particular mindset. They call it a legacy culture here, meaning that we've come to a place where we feel like church is all about, you know, coming and seeing the show or getting information and then going home and not fully engaging what needs to happen in the context of the local church. And so what needs to happen is a cultural paradigm shift, a change. It doesn't have to be seismic. It doesn't have to be, you know, all at once, but it needs to be something about, it's not all about me. It's about Jesus, and it's about helping people understand who He is, connect with Him, and then share Him with others. It takes time, but it is the right biblical thing to do, and that's what we're about.
The last thing then, when we talk about culture and shifting and changing culture, that can be a really scary thing for people. What do you say if you were to get asked, like, you know, that's, even if they don't say it in so many words, that's a scary thing. That can be a hard thing for people to reevaluate what they're comfortable, what they're familiar with. So what do you say if people have kind of that, a little bit of trepidation about that?
Well, what I would say is Jesus was a revolutionary. He came to change His culture and the mindset of the people who followed Him. We're about following Him because we love Him. We're about trying to learn how to become more like Him and sharing Him with others. What's so scary about that? We're not asking people to become evangelists. We're not asking people to stand up and sing a solo on Sunday. We're asking people to just invest themselves in the lives of others and share Jesus.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Pastor Rick, and let's see who's next.
Awesome. So we're here with Carol Way, wife of Jeremiah Way, who you guys saw earlier. Carol is a nurse, mother of a middle school age daughter. You have a lot going on in your world. This idea of discipleship, I imagine, is important and meaningful as someone who has a vocation in secular world. Obviously, you're a mom and you're very involved in church life. So will you share just a little bit about some of the things that have stood out for you the last couple of days?
Sure. So I've been learning a lot about discipleship and creating a community in that, like, our culture needs to start with a joyful belonging, not a fear-based motivation in a group of people. And then as the church, we need to work together to bring in and grow each other in Christ. So And then I went to this whole neuroscience thing. So just right up my alley about how our brains actually are wired for joy. But we get disruptions along the way in our maturity growth walk that kind of disrupts that. And then if we get off track, then we lose sight of the joy and the relationships that God really wanted us to create.
So when you think about the neurological elements of joy, what are some like highlights from that? Because that is so far beyond my realm of thinking, but it intrigues me. We often hear about in our culture today about just the mental health in our world and the depression that young people are experiencing on such like deep levels regularly. Where does joy play into that? How does like discipleship, the role of the church, not a church building, but people who love Jesus, what's our role in all that?
Well, they talked about even from infancy, we go through stages of maturity, and it starts with just our initial encouragement and attachment to those around us. And so a lot of people have either never formed that initial attachment in their families of origin, or they've lost it throughout the struggles of life. So as people in a church or in a group, like, we want to meet these kids, these people, these families, kind of where they are at in their hurting, and see if we can help them heal some of the hurting so then they can grow out of those adverse situations.
Yeah, I love that. I was mentioning with Jeremiah earlier that it reminds me of how Jesus did ministry, right? And what you just said reminds me that Jesus, again, he didn't sit and wait for people to come to him. He went to where they were. He met their physical needs, but more importantly, he met their spiritual needs. And people then experience joy because of their interaction with Jesus. And so maybe the encouragement for us is something to think about. Do people experience the joy of Christ after their interactions with us as his followers? Just something to consider. Thanks, Harold. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, we have left the conference completely. We are at the airport waiting to head back to dinner. And of course, we couldn't wrap up this episode without Donna giving some updates on what she learned at this conference. So, Donna, what's the number one takeaway you had from this conference?
I learned that it's really important for us to be involved in discipleship, that discipleship is something that Jesus commanded us to do. And when we're not doing it, we're not following something that he's commanded us to do. So it's really important that we consider that as part of our ministry here at Discovery Fellowship.
And so when we say discipleship, what do you mean by that? Like, what does it mean to make disciples?
It's not just about bringing people to Christ. I mean, that's an element of it, but it's teaching them about what it means to live the lifestyle of a person who knows the Lord and is available to minister and be part of people's lives.
That's pretty awesome. Now, the question, of course, this one's really important. Of all the things we're going to bring back to Discovery, should the first thing we implement be the use of a fog machine during our worship time?
Sorry, folks. I'm sorry, folks. You know.
I mean, unless you really want to answer, that's fine.
It's kind of a cool look, you know, kind of modern and all that stuff. I think we could use a fog machine.
All right. We've heard it here from Donna herself that we are allowed to use a fog machine at Discovery. Now, but in all seriousness, like, if there's one, like, encouragement you'd have for the church as we come back and as we start looking at what we're going to be implementing and how we're going to start ensuring this discipleship process, what would be like your big encouragement towards our people?
It would be easy to get scared because, you know, one-on-one discipleship is kind of hard. You know, you have to put something of yourself into it, but give it a chance. I think it's something that in the end, it will not only benefit others, but it will benefit you in a way that you can't even imagine, that the Lord will just open up many opportunities for you to minister and to be a part of other people's lives.
Awesome. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
All right. We're here with Melinda Braggin. She helps lead the Young Adults Group, is involved in leading worship as well at Discovery. And Morgan Lang, she leads our preschool and has been an integral part of writing our children's curriculum. And so I'm going to ask the same question to you guys that we've asked our previous guests. What is something, big thing that kind of stood out to you over these last couple of days as it relates to discipleship?
So for me, one of the things that stood out was my speaker in my breakout session was talking about how we need to invite the Holy Spirit into our discipleship making process. And as we are discipling our person, that we need to ask more questions than giving more direction or getting caught up in following a curriculum, and yield to the Holy Spirit and find out where they are in their journey and their process so that we can help guide them more appropriately at where they are and what they need.
I think one of the main things that stood out to me was in one of the first sessions we attended, and there was a pyramid, sort of a hierarchy. And it talked about how our experiences define our beliefs, which define our actions, which define our results. And I really appreciated it because he gave the example of if somebody believes that a left-handed hitter in baseball cannot hit a left-handed pitch, you have to change that experience. You take them somewhere where they're going to see that happen. And for me, I know that there are a lot of people who either have experienced church already and have been hurt from it, or who have preconceived notions about it. And I think for me, the challenge is, how am I going to change their experience? Is it through how I'm living my life and how I walk with them? Is it through inviting them to church and walking through that process with them? And yeah, it's just something I've been thinking about and I'm excited to talk about with our community.
So that kind of leads to another question I wanted to ask both of you. What, like, for you individually, in your context, you're both moms of young kids. What does it look like for you when we get home? Not necessarily just at Discovery, but just in your life, what does discipleship look like? What are your personal next steps?
Well, I'm kind of already in the process with a neighbor. So she is unchurched, but we have relationship together. Our kids play together. I'll go over to her house after school, and we'll hang out in the front yard while the kids play. And because of that relationship, I've been able to invite her into my house for a Bible study and introduce her to Jesus. So I'm starting that process, so I have more tools in my belt now to help kind of facilitate those next steps in her life.
Awesome.
I think a key element right now is that I'm discipling my kids. I need to be really intentional. It's really hard to be intentional, I think. And it's easy to, you know, try and let Awana do that, or try and let Sunday school, especially because I'm planning the Sunday school and three of my four kids are in preschool. But I'm recognizing that there has to be so much intentionality in what we're talking about. And one of the things we talked about, I think, is like discipleship is doing life together. And like, what better people to do life together than your family? So as we're, you know, in the car, or they're telling me about their experiences from the day, or we're watching a movie, there are times to pause and to talk about it. And that's, I think, a key element of discipleship, those pausing moments. In addition to that, I do really feel like I could have a discipleship relationship within the church. And so I'm going to be looking into who can disciple me and then who can I disciple as an adult.
That's good. And I think one of the things that like was foundational, at least with everything I heard, was prayer, right? So as you're utilizing the tools for your neighbor, praying for her regularly and for those conversations, as you're looking for that person to disciple you and who you're going to disciple, or praying for that person even now, that'd be like my encouragement to our listeners is this whole idea of discipleship can be overwhelming. There's a lot of going on. There's a lot I don't know. I don't know what it means to be a disciple. Therefore, I don't know how to disciple someone. So I can start with prayer, though. Like, that's a quick and easy start, a good next step for, I think, anyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Oh, man, that was cool to hear from everybody right now. I know this was a little bit different of an episode than normal. We'll be back next week with the regularly scheduled programming, your news. I got a good one for next week. Your AI segment, your listener comments, all of that good stuff back in on our regularly scheduled program. But don't forget, as always, if you haven't done so already, take a minute, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you downloaded this. Please leave us a comment on YouTube or email us at podcast@dfchurch.com. That's podcast@dfchurch.com. We would love to hear from you. Now, without anything else to say, we will see you next week.